Hello, hello. Welcome to Solar Sales Uncensored. I am your host, Aaron Browning. This is episode 3, and today's topic, my friends, is going to be heartfelt. It is going to be challenging. It is going to be fun. We are covering marriage and entrepreneurship, navigating the partnership challenge, right? Who here wants to learn more about how to own a business, how to work on a business, in a business with your spouse, with your significant other? And I have the privilege of introducing today's co-host. We commonly refer to her as the real MVP. It is my ride or die. It is my business partner. It is my bride of over 10 years. Miss Dora Browning, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing well after that intro. That was great.
It's funny. So people do say, I'll go and beat my chest for a second. I do some great intros, some great edification. Obviously, I would never say something that's not true. You are the real deal. You are the real MVP. Anybody that has been in business with us over the years who has gotten the privilege of meeting you and knowing you, they remind me of that statement all the freaking time. But how are you?
I'm doing really well. It's a good day.
I'm excited you are here. I know this is not normally something you do in terms of being on camera and taking this side of the business, but I think it's a topic that a lot of people are excited to learn about. We're going to be sharing a lot of our struggles, a lot of our failures, and a lot of our wins as well. Does that work for you?
Yes, for sure.
Awesome. So for those that don't know you already, and they soon will, do you mind giving the audience your brief history?
Yes. So I am a mother of two wonderful, beautiful boys, Noah and Luke, ages 7 and 10, and obviously married to the one and only Aaron Browning. Let's see. I have a master's degree in educational psychology. And shortly after I graduated, I, you know, did what most people do, went and got the job and actually not in my degree, which is also pretty common, I think, as well.
Very.
And I, you know, corporate America, exciting new experience, but I was kind of like, is this really what I want to do? I don't know. I mean, that's what you're supposed to do, right? But no, it didn't seem like something that came naturally to me. I mean, I grew up with amazing immigrant parents who were entrepreneurs, and I grew up in that household. And for me, and you know, my mom was a stay-at-home mom, and I was like, where does that fit into all of this? And I was like, it doesn't, I don't think. So, you know, I always envisioned, you know, going and get my master's and doing all of that, but then also being able to stay at home. And I kind of wanted it all, you know? But first and foremost, I wanted to stay at home, and that's not what everybody wants to do, but it was what I wanted. And so, you know, I'm grateful that now I've come this far to be able to do that. But it's been a while. It's been a lot of work.
I for sure. I got to jump in because this is uncensored and you're going to see me remind you of that a lot. That was one of my early memories. We're talking about business with us being together. Obviously we were dating at the time when I remember the conversation, but it was getting more serious. We're talking about marriage and everything else. And I remember it vividly of you saying, I will be a stay-at-home mom. And I want to paint the picture, right? At the time I was making $19,000 a year when I asked my bride to marry me. I get asked every day, are you good at sales? And I say, look at her. She did not marry me for the money originally. That is for damn sure, my friends. And please don't touch on that one. You don't have to, but it's important. Really important, right? I was stressed. I knew where we live in Northern Virginia, the DC area, the cost of living is insane, especially when you're making $19,000 a year. I didn't have the answers. I knew it was important to her. That was her big vision, her big why. It now was mine. I inherited that. And I think a big part of that early success that we had business-wise was because of that. It was how adamant you were, how passionate you were that you wanted to be the one to raise your kids. You wanted to be a business owner. You wanted to have it all. I think you just said that. Anything else you want to say on that?
No, I mean, I think it's the fact that you kind of, like you said, inherited that and you put the pressure on yourself. It's like you wanted to support my dreams and goals because, you know, in the beginning too, because we were dating when I was in college and getting my master's, and you always pushed me to do my best in that, even though that, you know, it was kind of something that I wanted, but then I also wanted the stay at home part too. So it was like I said, I wanted it all, and you were there to help provide that for sure.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Let's talk about what it looks like, because obviously we've owned several businesses now. I couldn't name them all. Many of them we've done very, very well. Others, it didn't pan out how we thought it was going to end, right? And that's part of it. That's part of entrepreneurship. But what does it look like? Paint that picture for people when I come home with a crazy idea, when I come home saying, we're also going to add this to what we're already doing and juggling. Like, what does that look like on your end?
Well, you know, I always saw, because you were always excited, you know, when you'd bring things home and say, look at this, or, you know, whatever it was. And there was that excitement. And I just had this trust in you, because I knew your end game and your goals in life of succeeding and wanting time freedom and having something massive. And I knew that anything that you would bring home wouldn't detour from that, like that it would ultimately get us from point A to B to our final goal sooner. So I always had that trust in you that, okay, this isn't just some outlandish idea. This is something that he sees value in. And I see so much value in you that I had, you know, for me, it was like, of course I'm going to support it, because when you win, I win, and then our family wins. So that was always my thought. I mean, yes, sometimes I'm like, okay, here we go again. You're already working so much. You're already taking so much time away from the family. But I'm like, okay, like, you know, we got to stick with this, because I know your goals and I know that you want to get there as fast as you can.
That's really, really well said. And that's why I really thought it was important to have both of us on here, because it's different perspectives. Like, that would not have been my blank answer for that. But hearing her say it, I think she's 100% right. If our end games aren't aligned, then going through the ups and downs, the turbulations of everything, if you're not going to the same end goal, what's it for? It doesn't matter. And that could be, that misalignment could be a big reason for why a lot of couples aren't in synergy about businesses and where they're going. If that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And I think if you're not communicating your goals, you know, that's a big one. If we never really discussed this, if it was always just like, I'm doing this, you're doing that, and there wasn't even that discussion of what's the end game here? Like, what's our goal for our lives ultimately? And you know, you were very good at painting that picture, just as I was, you know, early on for what I wanted for our lives, you know? So I think that 100%. You have to have that alignment.
100%.
For sure. And that communication.
I want to paint the picture, because I know there's people who have gotten to know us here in the last couple of years. And obviously our lives are very, very different than where everything was when it first started. I remember probably three and a half years ago calling you with an idea. I just met a brand new mentor, if you will, in my life. And I was adding a new vehicle, a new business opportunity to what we were working on. And I remember calling you. It was, I don't know, 10:30 at night. I was coming home from this like 4-hour meeting with this individual. And I remember so excited letting you know that we're launching something new on top of our real estate business. And I remember thinking, even though I knew you were always there for me, I knew you were my rock, you were so supportive, thinking, we're already working a ton of hours. What is her reaction going to be? So two questions. Can you kind of paint the vision for what our work-life balance was in the real estate days, and then what that conversation looked like?
There was no balance. I mean, it was, you were working all the time. Like, and the kids were obviously much littler, you know, preschool, early elementary. And, you know, I was in the evenings all day, you know, it was me doing everything, which I think you tend to forget sometimes. But you know, you were working and I was like upholding the home life, and you were, because you were building something big with real estate, and that was part of the process. It takes hard work.
Details. How many hours a week? What did it look like?
Probably, you know, 60 hours a week.
Okay. What typical day? What time was I gone? What time did I get home?
Usually left, what, about 8 o'clock in the morning, 8:30, depending on which office you were at. And I mean, you weren't getting home. Sometimes you'd be home, you know, 7, 8, sometimes after the kids were asleep. And then like that one night or other meetings that you've had, you know, sometimes it's 10 o'clock. It just depended on what was going on that day, what was on the schedule. But yeah, I mean, it was a lot of time away from family. But again, in all of that, I knew the end goal. So it was like, you know, this is part of the process. This is part of, you know, you have to do hard things. You have to sacrifice things to get to where you want to go.
Yeah, really well said again. Obviously, you can see who's the brains of the relationship. But I think it's important for those of you listening, kind of struggling with that balance. For one, I believe there is no balance, especially in the beginning. Growth is chaotic. If you're not in chaos, you're not in growth mode, especially in the beginning. Really important. So working 70 hours a week, I'm gone most days, including weekends. That's how the grind of real estate is. I call her up on a Tuesday, 10:30 at night, and say, we're launching something else. And your answer was?
Go for it. I mean, it wasn't, you know, I wasn't even hesitant. Like,
sure. No, this is who she is. This is important, right? The reason I wanted to go back a little bit to show you is that it wasn't like I was working 4 days a week and I said, cool, we're going to open a new business. I was already grinding. We're already grinding. We were already giving up so much. The other thing a mentor of mine taught me years ago, and anyone taking notes, I would write this down. You have to give up something to gain something else in the future. And so we were both in alignment on that. We were willing to give up some quality time, some family time now, so that we could have massive amounts of time for both in the future where we are now. And that was part of it. We were just aligned on that. And I love that you keep saying that word. Really, really important. So I had called you up with that idea. You, of course, were behind me. A lot of couples will call and they'll say, my spouse isn't on board. What do I do? Something I haven't talked about a lot because it's kind of negative, kind of taboo, but it is important. So that's okay, Dora. If you are one of those that comes home with ideas, you're an entrepreneurial mindset you have, I should say, but yet you lack follow through. Meaning you tell your spouse, your husband, your wife, we're going to do this. We're going to change this. I'm going to retire you. We're going to drive that car. We're going to get the kids in private school. We're going to take that vacation. And none of that stuff happens. You don't deserve their support.
Yep.
She's shaking her head. I got to be brutally honest. I know that's going to be hard for someone to hear. It's a fact. You have lied on that dream, on that vision for so long, for so many months, for so many years that your spouse has lost that vision in you to achieve that. Not saying it's over forever, but you can't get mad at them. You need to regain that. Anything you want to add on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, you know, painting the vision, obviously, we talked about. But also, like, with you, I know that you go all in. Like, if you want something and you want something to work, like, you put your all into it. You research it. You study. You put your best foot forward. And if you were one of those that was like, hey, look at this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And nothing... you never ever did anything with it, then yeah, maybe this conversation would be, or this whole situation would be very different. But again, it just comes in that, like, I know you, I trust you, and I know your goals. So I think that's really what it comes down to. And for people who want to have support, and whether it be from your spouse or from your family or whoever it is, you have to be good at painting that vision and giving it your all, you know, and actually trying, and that nothing comes easy.
I'm going to pick on your language for a second. You have to paint the vision 100%. 100%. She's right. I would not have said that. It's not even trying. It's follow through.
Yeah.
Like, it's follow through. I'm not saying you got to knock every single one out of the park. That's unrealistic, especially if you are a builder, but you got to deliver. You got to deliver. Yeah. You got to give that big why to your spouse, give the reason, the schools, everything else I just named. You have to. You got to figure it out. They need to see you, I mean, bleeding for it, sweating for it, becoming so passionate about it that it becomes contagious.
Yeah.
And I think so many of us, have lost that, where it's kind of like, and let's role play this for a second. If I called my wife up on that Tuesday saying, I think I have an idea. I think it might be good. I think we might make money. Like, there's no vision. Like, she's not buying into that, versus me being like, oh my gosh, I just had a meeting of my life. Everything is changing, sweetie. We're getting balance back. We're going to bring in leveraged income, residual income, which I know we're going to talk about. Like, there's a different dialogue, different belief. Yeah. Would you agree?
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure. Yeah. And just, and having dreams and goals and, you know, and if people are like, just kind of hopping from one thing to the next, it's showing that they're quitting too soon. And so, you know, I just knew that wasn't the case.
Yeah, and that's another topic too. We could do a whole different podcast on that. On when is it time to quit on a opportunity, on a vehicle, on a business? Because you don't want to be the last person on the ship either, right? I don't want to dovetail too much on that, but that is important. If you've been, you know, with an opportunity for 20 years and you're not making six figures, you're not making seven figures. That might not be the right vehicle for you. I'm not saying it's the wrong vehicle for everyone else, but let's be real on that. I've heard you say this a lot too. When things changed for you and I at home, business wise, it was when I really started to understand leverage and residual income. Do you want any thoughts on that?
Yeah. Well, I wanted to back up for a second if you can kind of put a pin in that one, but you know, because we didn't really talk about how I went from working corporate America to kind of linking arms with you and growing our business. So, I mean, you were in real estate and we knew that, you know, after I had worked, how long was that? Five years or so in corporate America.
You mean you're telling the audience I didn't retire you day one? Oh my gosh.
It took time. And, you know, I was patient. Hated going to work every day, especially after I had Noah. You know, I took 4 months off and then went back to work, and it was terrible.
That broke my heart, by the way, that I wasn't where I was supposed to be at that time.
Yeah, but you know, and it's fine. I mean, I think it builds character and for all of us. But I so Noah turned two, and that I took the day off for his birthday. We both took the day off. And then I went back to work the next day and put in my 2 week resignation because we had come to a point. I mean, I think we talked about it a lot. Like, we're going to get to a point where I can quit the job and we can forego my salary. Because, you know, like you touched on, we weren't making a lot of money. And then when I started my job, you know, that was our main income. And while you were building the real estate empire that you were building, because like I said, it takes work and sacrifice. But we had a number in mind, like, okay, we need to have this much money in the bank and then we can, you know, and then I can resign. So finally, Noah turned two, we reached that milestone. I put in my resignation, super excited. And of course, you know, a lot of people are like, what, you're quitting your job? Like, what are you doing? You know, and even like my boss said that to me, like, well, real estate's not very stable and, you know, blah, 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 whatever. So, you know, but still in that moment, I had no doubt in my mind, we were going to make it work. It was going to be fine. And, you know, and same thing with sacrifices. We did have to sacrifice our income, our budgeting a little bit in the beginning, but once I made that jump, and granted, I did stay home a lot. I only went into the actual office with you maybe a couple of days a week. But once we kind of our goals aligned and we went all in on real estate, that's when things really started to go. And I'm not taking credit for it, of course, but I'm just saying
you were a huge part of that.
But I think, you know, go ahead.
Two things. One is people are going to ask, I know, especially people watching this on YouTube where they can see the video, the rule that we used for retiring her on that day that she's talking about after my son's birthday, we had 6 months of our family's nut, of our monthly bills put away in an account. That was that threshold for us. We probably could have done it with three because we believed in ourselves and bet on ourselves. I'm not here to tell you to do that. You got to make that call. But that's what worked for us. And we jumped all in. She's also being way too nice. I remember what she told her friends and colleagues at work. And I'm sorry if they're watching this, that you get in trouble, but it's uncensored. They told her she was dumb. They said, you have a family. I mean, we were taking daggers. I think even your parents were shocked.
Like, you have your degree. Like, what are you doing? Like, you're not even using it. And really, I wasn't using it then either. It wasn't in my field. But yeah, that was, but I don't even think that really affected us at all. If I remember correctly, it didn't even bother me actually, which is surprising.
Yeah. I think it's how strong we were in this. Like, we just knew it goes back to vision and belief. I think it was your boss, that said, cause you were amazing at everything you ever do, that she said, I'll hold your job. Like, if he's not able to deliver, I mean, it was something they said, remember, it was like a stab. And I was like,
The door's always open, you know, when things don't go great, or if, I don't remember, she probably, but if things don't work out, like, you can always come back, you know, and, you know.
So I know you probably didn't use it as fuel. I definitely did. Like, I took that as like,
okay. Well, no, I did. I was like, I'm going to show everybody, like, you know, but. Because you know, I want to be right. So you make it right.
I love it.
You
I want to jump back into really, you know, the linchpin for our growth was when we discovered the power of leveraged income, residual income to some extent. I know people. I'm we both read a lot. I could say now, especially you lately, how much you're reading. You know, about a book a week. That we knew leverage, but we just didn't really understand it. And I say we. I'm really speaking for myself. I knew the power of it. I thought I did. But as they say, when you truly understand leveraged income and residual income, you jump through a brick wall to get it. And I had that turning point when I got aligned with a mentor that was making close to $2 million a year residually, meaning he got paid, he and his family, whether he got out of bed that day. And I did not have that in real estate. I did not. Like, I was grinding, I was building. And so when we got exposed to that, we changed our circle, right, if you will. I believe, and I'd love to hear your take on that, everything else changed. It almost realigned our mission, where to where now if it didn't have leverage, it didn't have residual into it, we didn't see an exit plan for it. And we got aligned again. Does that make sense?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, going from, you know, working those 60, 70 hour, whatever it was, and grinding and sacrificing all that time and doing it. But then in the end, there was no, like you said, there was no exit plan for real estate. Without residuals and leverage and stuff. And so once you really understand what leveraged income is and what residual income is, then you're like, okay, there's the end goal. How do we get to that? And with real estate, you know, it just wasn't, and we didn't realize that until probably what, 3-4 years ago. About four years ago.
I would say it's about right. I joke all the time, and I don't think I've ever said it to you, but how often have you gone to a real estate agent retirement party? you don't. My mentor who taught me real estate kills it, makes $400,000 or $500,000 a year. I remember being at a bar asking her about a retirement plan as she got there, and she was like, I'll just slow down. I'll just sell two or three this homes a month. And I remember being like, oh no, like that's not my dream. My dream is to be my family, be on the boat, not a knock on hers. We all have our own dreams, no judgment. But that's when I started to realize that. Like, no, like the minute I stopped selling real estate, my income stopped going as well. I built a team. So we had that team income coming in. The minute I stopped showing up, stopped leading that team, the income stopped. Like there is no leverage. Someone had to go sell something every single time. I want to fast forward to where we are now, specifically with solar. And I'll share a quick stats at the risk of beating my chest, but I think it's important to paint the vision again of where we are.
I'm just kidding. No, I'm kidding.
we currently have we've been in solar for under a almost year. I think it's like 9 months, 10 months, something around those time frame. We currently have an organization of over 300 sellers. We call them business partners on our solar team, our virtual solar team. In over 20 states, Puerto Rico included. We'll finish our first year with just over 200 solar installs. Fast forward or go back 9 months ago, 10 months ago, we didn't know solar. We knew nothing about it. And so I'm really, really proud of what we were able to accomplish in a very short period of time. But the reason I really wanted to share those numbers with you is I would like my wife to touch on our work-life balance now. How much of me are you seeing? How often are we hanging out? Like, what does that look like over the last 10 months of what we've just built?
Yeah. I mean, I see you more now than I ever did before.
Isn't that crazy?
It is. And it's a much different, like, even though, you know, a year ago we were still together a lot, but it was different. You were really stressed.
Yeah.
You know, and now it's like, I can see that spark again of you're having fun, you're building something that you believe in, and you're not stressed. You're not anxious. You're not, you know, you're taking every day as it comes. You're not worrying about the next day or what, you know, what's going to happen. It's just, you have your groove. And so I feel like this solar experience has kind of taken the best things of each of our business ventures and put them all together, basically, in my mind. That's how I view it. Cause you have the income, you have the team, you have the opportunity, but you without the stress. And I think that's the biggest key for me of why this is just amazing right now.
Do you think a big portion of that is the fact that we built this business virtually?
Oh, probably. Yeah.
Touch on that?
Yeah. I mean, being able to just have your home office here and doing, doing virtual, not having to go to appointments, because it's also, you know, it, let's say you were to go to an appointment that's 30 minutes away and it's canceled. I mean, the whole night is shot, because, or day or whatever time frame it would be. I mean, you're deflated, in a bad mood probably, you know, and so it kind of just like ruins the whole mood of the household. But now it's like, there was one canceled just today, actually, yep. Or, you know, it was cut short, and you walked into the kitchen and be like, all right, I'm free now, you 100%. Know, and that makes a huge difference. And being home, you know, talk about work-life balance. I mean, we take our kids to school every morning. We walk them to school, and then we continue a walk for another about 2 miles. And that's our morning routine. You cannot say that about a lot of people. COVID has probably changed things a little bit for people, because I think more people do work from home. But we just have that. We have these set routines. Every day at 3:30, we go pick our kids up from school, you know, and we're both able to go, which you don't see many husbands and wives picking up their kids.
Hold on. We have to talk on this. Okay. I didn't know you were going to go there. I don't want to get emotional either. That is why we do this. That is why entrepreneurship is so freaking important, my friends. It's what she just said. Every single morning, I am with my wife. When she says we, she means it. I could probably count on one hand out of the entire year if I missed. I don't know if I missed a morning. I'd have to be sick. Where I missed an afternoon on one hand out of 180 days. Like, that's how crazy that is. We take the kids to school. We're with them. We are present. We don't even bring our phones. And then her and I have an hour long, 45 minutes to an hour long walk. We debrief. We plan what we're going to do for the day. We get home. We hit the gym for a little bit, shower, and then we accomplish the day. Like, that is our morning routine Monday to Friday. That is freaking epic. Epic. We're able to do all that, have that 2-hour block for ourselves and for our family, and still build what we built. That's the power of one, getting your mindset right, getting that spousal support, but also getting aligned with an opportunity that can help you get that.
Yeah, for right? sure.
So freaking important. Let's talk about setting boundaries. How do you personally set boundaries for, you know, our work life, since we are at home, we are 100% virtual, and then also doing that with our personal lives? What does that look like?
I mean, it's so important to have those boundaries. I mean, we're not perfect by any means. Some days are easier to have that balance or have those boundaries. And other days it's hard, you know, and it's a work in progress, and you just have to take it for what it is. But, you know, if something does come up, you know, during dinner time or after hours or whatever, we may have a discussion about it, but I think we're pretty good about, like, you know, putting a pin in it or bookmarking it for the next morning. Because I think we've realized things can wait. Nothing's on fire, you know, and maybe there have been circumstances that something needs to be done immediately, you know, and we're able to differentiate between that, and have that boundary. Like, is this worth, you know, standing up from dinner to go take care of? Most of the time, no. So I think that's the biggest boundary that I think that we've come to set over the last few years, like realizing which things are important and which things aren't. And I think that takes practice.
It really does. And I like that you said it's still not perfect, because it's not. It's hard. Like, when you're, and we'll talk about our roles and what we're doing now and here in a second, but there are times we could be sitting at dinner. In fact, last night we were in bed. I think you had just put our oldest, who woke up, and he came back in the room at 10:30. I was like, oh my gosh, what about so-and-so's file? That's inappropriate. That's not the right time for me to be hitting my wife with a file question about a deal, about a recruit, whatever it was, right? And so sometimes she has to smack my hand on that and say, dude, text it to yourself. And yes, I text myself reminders. It's all good. But remind yourself of that later. The other thing she just said too about the fires, there are no fires. That's probably, and I have not said this in a long time, that's probably the biggest difference between the solar game and the real estate game. Yeah. Real estate game is deadlines here in Virginia, DC area. Contracts, all the expirations are at 9 p.m. It doesn't matter if it's a Saturday or a Sunday, you're up against it. We don't deal with that now. If a client sends us an email, we have one last night at like 8:15. And no offense, client, if you're watching this, I'll get back to you after take my kids to school. I work out with my wife tomorrow morning. Like, that is not something we're touching. And that alone is like a huge weight off your chest, off your shoulders, right?
Yeah. But that was definitely something that we struggled with for so long.
Oh my gosh.
And I think we had to learn that. And just like with setting any kind of boundary, it's uncomfortable at first, you know, and you're like, is it okay to be doing this? Or, you know, can this really wait? And yes, it can.
Yeah, almost every time it can. It is true. I learned it years ago. Email inbox, you're getting people asking questions, this. If I was busy and I was diligent about it and I learned this to exercise that muscle, I would get back to it in 4 hours. You would see an email chain where the people who had the questions put the fire out themselves.
Yep. They resolved it. Yeah.
Like, oh, they fitfoed. They figured it the blank out. It's amazing. And same thing happened.
I think also the beauty of having both people involved in the business, because when you're like, you may view something, oh, this person called her, I have to get back to this, I have to do this. I can like balance you out and be like, okay, let's eat dinner. And then we can take a look at it. You know, like we can kind of balance each other out in that way too. Something may seem really stressful to me, and then I bring it to you and you're like, it's fine, you know, like, or whatever it is. But when you're both involved in it, you're able to kind of put the fire out for them in their minds. And I don't know, it's just like when you're aware of the situations, it's just easier to calm down and realize, okay, this can wait. Whereas if you were just doing it alone, I don't know if it's really important or not. I would have no idea. I would just take your word for it and let you go do whatever you need to do.
Yep. So, well, usually the one dealing with it is more emotionally involved. And that's where that fire and that sense of urgency comes from, versus you just relaying it to me. And I'm like, we're good. We can deal with that next week. You're 100% right. Yeah. Great segue. Talk to us about our current roles inside of our solar organization. What does that look like? Some of your daily, you know, MOs, your responsibilities versus mine, and how we play well together.
Yeah. So, I mean, we definitely have our own lanes, and I think that's important for anybody that's working with their spouse. And just like you would in any other company, you have kind of a job description, which, I mean, we don't have that defined. But you know, Aaron's the seller. He's the charismatic, he's a go-getter, but I mean, I can be a go-getter too, but he's, you know, more out there and you know, on camera, on doing everything, on like the front end and selling and getting deals and recruiting people and, you know, doing all of that. And then I'm kind of, we always say like, oh, I'm behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. And so it's the administrative stuff. It's like the project management type things, the paperwork, the contracts, just like tracking everything, you know, we've talked about the DISC a lot. And I don't even know what
behavioral assessments.
Yeah.
For those not familiar.
So, you know, we have different personality types. I'm more organized and meticulous and attention to detail. And so that makes the paperwork part fun for me, like, you know, boring for him. I mean, I would be very uncomfortable leading a presentation on solar. I could do it, but I wouldn't want to. And Aaron would lose his mind if he had to do the paperwork side of it, because he doesn't have time for that stuff, you know? So it's nice to have where we kind of cover all parts of the spectrum with this type of stuff, because he can take his side, I can take my side, and it goes well together.
I want to make sure everybody heard this. I'm going to pick on her for a second, just because she can't throw something at me. She could do what I do. She just wouldn't like it. For me, I'd lose my mind. It could not do what she does. And I pick on her because she's 100% right. 100% right. We would not have built what we built so far and where we're going to go in the next 1 to 3 to 5 years. If I had to juggle all sides of that business, that's like being a unicorn. Having a great salesperson, but also someone, you know, who can paint the vision and then be relentless at paperwork and organizing and getting deals to close, contract to close, facilitating client relations. Like that typically is not the way one person is wired. And so we've gotten really, really good at identifying the lanes that each of us want to play in respectively. Probably our gift, to be honest with you. Like, we're so freaking good at that.
Yeah. And knowing our strengths and weaknesses. What I was going to say too is I could do it, but I wouldn't be as good at it.
Well, you didn't say that.
I know, but that's, I know. That goes without saying. We all know this, or at least
For those of you watching on YouTube, let us know in the comments if you buy what she just said. I'm not buying it.
Because I'm very much, we can all do anything that we set our minds to, right? Does it mean we'll do it super well? No. You could kind of train yourself and mold yourself into what you want to be. But I don't want to do that at all. Like, I have no desire. That's your strength. And my strength is the other side. And we're really good on honing in on what our strengths are and allowing the other person to stay in their lane and do what needs to be done. And that's how, like, it becomes a well-oiled machine when you kind of hone in on that.
Yeah, I'll give a great, you know, example, analogy, if you will, of behavior is almost like, imagine, for those of you watching on YouTube, you can see my hands. Imagine a rubber band where you can stretch it. My wife's amazing. Like, she is a unicorn. Like, truly, she could stretch and do everything she just said, but that band is starting to pull, and it wants to go back into its normal state, right? Where it's not stretched. So she can do it for short periods. But if that became the everyday, like, that was her thing, she had to be on video, be doing, taking the calls, closing, all that stuff. Eventually that rubber band could break, could fray, right? And same thing, it's reversed for me. And so it's important of finding that. We're not saying that someone can't do everything, but I am saying you're not going to be great at everything. 100%.
Oh, yeah. It goes back 100%. To the, if you're trying to do it all, you're not going to do anything well.
No, yeah, I totally agree with you. Let's talk about how we maintain open communication or try between personal and professional relationships.
I think for us, we've had a good foundation of being able to communicate, and, you know, and it's obviously, like I said, it's, nothing's perfect. We argue and we have our challenges and differences and things. But we can to always talk about it, and we can always go back to it and say, okay, like, what can we do? And I think it really, having respect for each other and wanting to succeed. I mean, our goal is the same. We like, ultimately we're going the same direction. And just having that alignment is just really important, and realizing that communication is the end all be all of everything.
Love it. Love it. Talk about balancing, you know, work life, personal life, family life, because they're all three different. Very, very important. What are our kind of stances on that? What does our day-to-day look like on that front? I know you touched on it briefly.
Yeah,
cool.
Yeah. Yeah. We touched on, you know, the morning routine, the picking up the kids routine, you know, dinner, weekends by appointment for you, for the most part. I mean, and for me, like the administrative side, the difference between this and real estate is there isn't anything going on over the weekend. Nothing that we've come across anyway so far. So the weekends are pretty protected. Evenings, for the most part, I mean, there are a couple nights that you'll have a consultation in the evenings, but, you know, we plan around it, and we're still able to get our dinner time in, or our quality time in the evenings. So I think, you know, we're good at realizing that when things can wait, like we touched on before, and keeping our routine, as much as we possibly can.
Yeah, I love that. No, I'll echo it. This is the first business that we've done together, that we've owned, where it did not require extensive nights and weekends. I'll be brutally honest. The first, I can't think of another one. If I'm wrong, correct me. That doesn't have like a month end where you're having to hit certain goals to maintain certain titles or statuses or whatever. This is none of that. None of that. Our day, Monday to Friday, does not start until 10 a.m. Monday, I do go later until 8 p.m. Tuesday to Thursday, I am done by 6. So we're doing dinner with the family. I have the 3 to 4 o'clock window blocked, so that I can pick up my kids. I can debrief with them on school. And then Friday is a half day. And then, to her point, Saturday and Sunday are appointment only. And it better be like a slam dunk and a reason of why they couldn't meet during the week. Like, that is what I call a business by design. Like, it, yes, we're grinding and we're very purposeful with the hours that we give it, but we also are able to unplug. Right. And I just think that's huge. One last thing that I want to touch on, I always like to end on this. It's going to be a phrase a little bit different for you, obviously, but, let me think of how to say that, how to rephrase this for you. What advice would you give someone who doesn't have the support yet from a spouse or a significant other? Meaning they've tried perhaps different ways, different vehicles, different opportunities, and they just can't get that buy-in.
I mean, I think it's just important, you know, communication and painting the vision like we had discussed, but also involving them in what you're doing, you know, taking them to, you know, if it's a meeting or a Zoom or a presentation or a video to watch or whatever, whatever the case may be. Because I think that's really like, you need to get their buy-in. And it's important for them to share in your dreams and see the vision and see kind of where this could take you and why you're so excited about it. You have to be excited for it and let them know how excited you are. Like, you know, for solar, for instance, I was like, yeah, solar is cool, whatever. And then you were, what did you do? You had me take the tier one training with you.
Yep.
And I was like, you know, because even then I was like, yeah, we can put solar in house. I don't really want it on the front. Like, I'm not really sure how that's going to look, like whatever. You know, I was supportive, but I was like, eh, I don't know. And then we did the tier one training. And by the end of the training, what did I say?
It wasn't even by the end. You were elbowing 15 minutes in. Aaron, we're putting this all over our house.
Yeah,
like, we owe it to our kids.
Can we do it today?
You know, 100%.
And that happened in a previous company that we were doing. You know, it took me, you told me things, but it took me seeing a presentation and different things spoke to me than they did for you, because we're different. We are different personalities, and we're different things might jump out at me than they do for you. And so I think it is important, you know, we'll use the solar example. If you're looking into joining solar, show your spouse what you saw that got you so excited. Because I think even if they don't truly understand it, they'll get the idea without you telling them. And I think showing them proof, kind of like, you, because you can say all you want, especially if you're one of those that does say a lot about things and then doesn't do anything with it, giving them some proof might help them want to be more open to supporting.
It's a massive nugget you just dropped, and I hope people are still with us. I know and pray they are. A couple key things I want to dissect. One is, she said show, not tell. With a previous opportunity we were working on together, I came home and told her all about what made me excited. And she just said it, different personality. She was excited for me, had nothing to do with the business of what we were doing. I finally, you guys ready for this? I treated her like a prospect. I had her go through the presentation, her watch it, her absorb it. I came home from work one day after selling homes or whatever we were doing, and she had 4 pages of notes. Like, she was ready to take on the world, empower people, and give people things that they never had before. Different takeaways than mine, right? Without saying what it was huge. Same thing with solar. She's painting a picture right now. Let's go uncensored. Nope, we're not putting it on our dream home. We're not putting it on the front. If you want on the back, do whatever you want. 15 minutes in, elbowing me. I owe this to Noah. I owe this to Luke. Set the appointment. We're doing it today, right? We involved each other. I wanted her to see, to experience with the same thing I fell in love with, and vice versa. So I love that. And I did lie. There is another topic that I do want to bring up that I think is really important. This is something I think you and I do really, really well. We talk about husband and wife partnership, spousal support, but I think it's really important to have your kids' support, your kids' buy-in. They need to know why you're missing certain things in the build phase, the grind phase of what the long-term gain is going to be. And so, babe, if you don't mind talking about how we celebrate our business successes with our kids and a few examples of that.
Yeah. I mean, they know what the goals are. You know, if there is something to celebrate, some award that was received, they get excited too. They knew what the awards were going to be, or whatever it was. And they were excited. And the fun thing is, it's like Aaron wins, I win, our whole family wins, because they're excited too. And they realize, okay, they know that you need to work to make money and to have things and to go places. And I think it's a nice lesson for them, because then that kind of can let them have big dreams and big goals as well.
100%. Both of our children know our goals. They know our big rocks. They know what we're up against. They know what we do when we hit certain hit certain, what's the word, statuses, I guess you could say, inside of different companies.
Milestones.
Yeah. See, she's the more intelligent one. they get it. We involve them. We're adamant. We shoot videos of unboxing gifts and awards that we've gotten in various companies. They play a big part. There was a time the other day, my little guy, Luke, wanted me to do something. I forget what it was now. And I had an appointment. It was something I had at night, which I typically don't have. And I remember showing him on my phone the screensaver, which is a cruiser, a boat. We're all boaters that we want as a family. And he gets it. Like, he points to it. He understands it. And so I think just not only, yes, you got to separate things, but include your family. Like, really paint that vision. They want to be behind this. They want to see you win. They know what comes from it if you do a great job of painting that vision of how it's going to impact everybody and not just you, the owner, or the spouse that you want support from, if that makes sense. Awesome. Yeah. Well, babe, I greatly appreciate it. For someone that doesn't get on camera a lot, you freaking nailed it. Those of you watching on YouTube, let her know in the chats. Friendly favor to ask, if you got value from today, you want more of this, let us know. Please rate and review this episode and our podcast as a whole. It's the best thing you can do for us. We do this for free. We do it from our hearts. We want to lead from contribution. We want to give back. We want to help people live richer and fuller lives. So, babe, I appreciate your time. I know that everyone watching does as well. Thank you all so much. Have a great day. Be safe and God bless. We'll talk soon.